when I went to your website and knew this was the final piece of the puzzle. And as soon as I saw that there was one for Sentinel, I was like, yes, we need to try this out. Cybersecurity is a massive area. People think, oh, it's just one thing. No, there's just so much to it. It just comes down to communication as well. So cybersecurity is all about being able to explain these things as well, and building a culture.
Welcome to a new episode of the DIRTAC podcast, the podcast on reliable alerting for critical systems. Today with Mathis DIRTAC, founder of DIRTAC and Signal 4, and our client Callum Golding, founder of CSP Lighthouse, a cybersecurity provider from Adelaide, Australia. Callum will talk about challenges and opportunities in the cybersecurity space and his experience of using DIRTAC's alerting and incident response solution, Signal 4, at CSP. Enjoy listening.
So, Callum, great to meet you. Thanks for being in the show.
No problem. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So what's your business, Callum? What's your company doing? What are you doing in your company?
Yeah, my business is called CSP. It stands for Cybersecurity Provider, or CSP Adelaide. We're based in South Australia. And this is just our second year, actually. We've just come up to our second year this month. And I have been in IT around 18 years now. And so I started CSP in 2020 with a background predominantly in Microsoft 365. I'd worked for many MSPs prior to that. And I'd had a very strong cybersecurity background for the last 5 years prior to starting the business, heavily invested in the Microsoft cloud solutions like Defender 365 and specifically Microsoft Sentinel, which was launched in, I think, 2019. So I got involved in that from the get-go, from its inception. And I saw a lot of potential with that as a cloud, one of the first cloud-based SIEMs. So when I started the business, that was really my vision. My dream was to build a security practice that focused on Microsoft specifically, and to build a security center that leveraged cloud-based machine learning, analytics, all of the ability to do threat hunting from a cloud perspective. And I suppose the value proposition that I wanted to bring to the table with CSP was that we don't just do the SIEM SOC. We also help from the blue team perspective in trying to help organizations strengthen their ecosystem, harden their environment, and try and align with what Australian Cybersecurity Center call the Essential Eight.
I see. So you're basically operating security on behalf of your clients or as a security or cybersecurity service provider. How can I imagine your business blueprint?
Yeah, we're what is called a managed detection and response service. So we will provide a security team. We have employees in various places around the world. We're kind of global because we need to hit the 24/7 from an alerting perspective. But we will help set up and provision Microsoft Sentinel and all of the Defender products. If you're a Microsoft shop already, you may already have some, but we help with all of the provisioning and then the ongoing monitoring and response to the various alerts and detections that come in from Microsoft.
I see. And any specific reason why you decided for Microsoft? Is that because of your previous background that you mentioned, or is it the technology itself?
It's a combination of both. So the background definitely pushed me in that direction. But also, I was seeing at the time a really good evolution in terms of Microsoft security. I mean, even 2 years ago, especially 5 years ago, there was a lot of resistance to Microsoft as a security vendor. I think they've proved themselves now. That's probably beyond doubt with the new Gartner over the last couple of years, and they're a leader in endpoint detection and response now. They've really made a huge amount of progress in this area. And so I was kind of excited to be at the forefront of that. I obviously already had a background in Microsoft being a technician and an architect. So I was kind of a bit biased as well, but I was excited to see that their security solutions were really starting to take off.
Wonderful. And is that specifically for the Australian market? I mean, I know that Microsoft does have a good standing in the Australian market. Is that the same in the security business, or is it like a general trend globally that you see?
It's a general trend globally. I do quite a bit of consulting on the side as well for organizations around the world. So we do some information protection consulting. So with Azure Information Protection is like data classification. But what has really, what the trend that I've seen is how well these products integrate with each other. So they're talking to Graph API. There's literally billions of signals that Microsoft are receiving from their end that they're able to correlate and put together really good recommendations. Their Defender for Endpoint and Defender for Cloud Apps and Defender for Office, which is email, endpoint, and kind of cloud app solutions. They all talk to each other and integrate. And they also integrate with the endpoint management system, which is called Intune. So we've got some really cool ways that these products can talk to each other. And from a security perspective, that means there's an ability to rapidly respond and automate some of our processes.
Sounds cool. So what would you be your typical clients? So would it be in do you have like a specific industry segment, like financial industry, or is it that you go for mid-sized companies or enterprises? So is there any specific client blueprint?
No specific industry. Most of our clients would be under sort of 10,000 or so devices. So we can have enterprise. We can also have small, medium businesses, which are under kind of 300 endpoints. One of our lifelong difficulties is really around licensing and how to vet. In terms of the Sentinel and the setup and the security, it's pretty much cross-industry. But when it comes to licensing with Microsoft, that's a bit of a minefield. And that's one of our daily challenges is when we come to advisory services is picking the right licensing, but we won't go there.
Well, you're the specialist then. You need to figure it out on behalf of your clients.
Don't tell too many people.
So we just discovered that we have been working roughly a year together in relation to Signal 4. So how does Signal 4 fit into your business, and what are the challenges that you're addressing with it?
Yeah, well, it fits perfectly, I have to say. And when we did discover it, and I can't actually, it's eluding me how exactly, I think it was a blog somewhere, but whatever it was, when I went to your website and realized there was an application for such a thing, I knew this was the final piece of the puzzle that I was looking for. I'd been doing so much research in the background and getting the right team together and getting the permissions right and being able to ensure data sovereignty for organizations using Sentinel, which is a thing called Lighthouse. That means the data doesn't have to ship to us like your traditional SIEM. It stays where they are, and we can just view the incidents and respond to them. And then I realized that it can get tricky. We need to be 24/7. We've got a global team. We need to do scheduling. How are we going to do all of these things? And then I found your product and the alerting and the way it integrated and the number of source connectors you actually had was amazing. And as soon as I saw that there was one for Sentinel, I was like, yes, we need to try this out. So that was, I looked and just checked my emails before this podcast and realized that was just over a year ago. And so, we were really happy to give it a try. And the process has been quite seamless. We had there are some challenges just with anything, obviously any new product, getting your head around scheduling and working how to use things, but it has absolutely been worth the challenge to get it right, because once things are all in place, we've got a fantastically well integrated team now that are leaning on your product quite heavily.
So the core use case is basically a 24/7 alerting in case your clients run into any security incidents, so that you are able to respond faster. So that's the ultimate value to you.
Exactly. Yeah. The speed, the rapidity at which we get these alerts is absolutely essential. The alerts being brought into your consciousness with, as you well know, a very well fine-tuned alarm system that you have, which goes off, which makes people around you jump and sounds like there's some kind of nuclear invasion. But you need this entry point to know that there's a high severity or medium severity alert. We need to respond to it. Not just that, you've got that three-step stage, which I absolutely love, which is the alarm will go off, that there's an incident. You could be, you know, away from your phone at the time. You can set a period to when you next get a text message as the second point, and then finally you will receive a phone call. We absolutely love that kind of staged process as well.
So did that have any impact on your general, on the way your clients view your business, or, you know, your image, or your meeting your SLAs, or was there any real impact that you would mention? Yes, that contributed to a better fulfilling of SLAs, or?
I would say it's part of our entire conversation from start to finish. When we talk to customers and we show them what we do from the Sentinel perspective, from the onboarding of all of the Defender products to having a framework and how our SOC responds and what their processes are, to having an integrated mobile application such as yourself. It's in our presentation. It's in there from the get-go. And I have to say, customers always do like the fact that there is an integrated system rather than just a stray email. There's a backup plan if a SOC member, you know, for whatever reason, can't answer within that time, and then we can have that escalated. There's visibility, so our SOC manager can see, you know, what's been responded to and get that reporting and visibility. And obviously, as I say, customers really, really like the fact that we've got a product like this that we lean on.
Oh, great. Is there any specific feature or anything in Signal 4 that your users or your co-workers like the most? Or
It's definitely the ringtone, I have to say. It's a bit cheesy, but they all appreciate that ringtone. We're also very, very, very happy with just the general layout of the application and how easy it is to acknowledge, how to get information from there. With all seriousness, it's obviously the actual information that's really critical. And being able to find that within the application and see what's going on as a kind of initial investigation before they get to the machine to continue the triaging, that's really important. And to also obviously hear about the future, which we might talk about, of your ability to trigger potential automated responses. That's a huge deal that we're already looking into. Obviously, we're not just a SIEM. We're not just responding to incidents. We're also SOAR. So, you know, orchestration, automation, and response. That is a key component of our service, is that we could isolate a machine, run antivirus, revoke a user's token. These are kind of really fast responses that our customers appreciate having available from the managed detection response provider. And yeah, we're looking forward to exploring what you guys are doing in that area.
Yeah, that's the latest addition you were talking about to Signal 4 in terms of features. So this is what we call remote actions, where you basically, in the context of an alert, can run any automated job that is configured somewhere. And that's a great thing, absolutely, because it ultimately closes the loop from, you know, getting the information, from, you know, acknowledging the alert, saying I'm taking over, starting the conversation with others, but then also being able to do something from your smartphone, basically, with pre-configured actions. Yeah.
It's exciting, and also it's a bit of a mountain, because you have to be careful around who gets access to what remote controls, what they can trigger. This is a very important architectural and, you know, role-based access control conversation that we have to have around who has those permissions to trigger which actions on which devices and so on and so forth. But that's all part of the fun. And that will be part of the journey.
Talking about integrations, you mentioned that one of the key decision points for you was the Azure Sentinel integration that we have. It is actually quite a sophisticated one, I have to say. And we also did have some challenges because of the complexity. It was not entirely out of the box because of the different layers within Azure Sentinel. But fundamentally, you're satisfied with the way we did it. Like, it's a two-way integration with, you know, whatever you do on the smartphone, it gets updated in Sentinel. Was that an essential part of, you know, the decision for Signal 4 that we have this two-way integration with Azure Sentinel?
Absolutely, yeah. And I was surprised that, I mean, we've had a few challenges, and these have been addressed. They're quite possibly on the Microsoft side with how their API talks. But the way your dev team has addressed those issues for us has been exceptional, and we've been really grateful for getting those things sorted, because we know how often Microsoft changes things. Yes. Things are changing all the time. It's a very fast-moving landscape, and I think that can be quite a challenge, but you guys have definitely risen to that challenge, and we really appreciate it. But yes, to answer your question, the two-way communication is essential and really an important part.
So that makes Signal 4 like a true, genuine mobile extension, your security work for this 24/7 operations of your security stack for your clients.
Absolutely. Yeah, as I said, we have team members in various different countries around the globe and different schedules. And this really is an extension of the service that we provide and a really crucial component of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It confirms what we are aiming at. So that's great. When we talk about, being a cybersecurity service provider or security service provider, how do you see this business evolving? Is there, you know, any kind of foreseeable future or direction that you are seeing?
There are a number of different trends obviously occurring, having been involved in this area for quite a number of years now. Part of the difficulty, I think, is hiring the right people, is getting the right people and getting people involved, because cybersecurity is a massive area. People think, oh, it's just one thing. No, there's just so much to it. Many layers of complexity. It's not just let's buy this product and that solves all of my issues. There are frameworks and different frameworks to follow, like I mentioned earlier with the Essential 8, Australian Cybersecurities. There's the NIST framework. There's a number of different areas and ways that we can tackle cybersecurity, and what we follow can obviously change. Things are really changing quickly. People are adopting cloud at a very, very fast pace, and automation is going to be a crucial component of this future. Cloud-based device management is going to be a key element. People are moving away steadily from on-premise environments and the traditional kind of perimeter boundary of having just a firewall, being behind that firewall and being secure. Everything is just assumed to be secure. That whole methodology is basically dead in the water. And we are now transitioning into what is called a zero trust approach. So from Microsoft's perspective, that zero trust is formed of three pillars, which is to always verify, never trust, always verify. That's key. So because things are moving outside of the perimeter, we need to verify certain components of your identity before we grant you access. Are you in Australia? Are you on a compliant device? Does your device have any risks, profiles, et cetera, et cetera? Once you manage to get past those conditionals, then you're allowed access. So we're basically changing where the control plane is. It used to be the firewall. It's now switching to the identity. So we're seeing a lot more uptake of people kind of understanding that that's where things are going, and organizations being on board with that. It just comes down to communication as well. So cybersecurity is all about being able to explain these things as well, and building a culture in your organization that are aware and also not scared to report when things go wrong. You want to encourage your staff to be happy to report something so that you guys can, we can hopefully resolve it in as quickly as possible.
Mm. That's very, very extremely interesting. And the speed of evolution, always at the brink of revolution in this sector, is absolutely amazing. You know, I believe you have an extremely challenging environment that you're operating in. But I believe that it is important that companies like you are the experts and, you know, help clients to navigate those waters. Because it's often, I mean, in IT general, it's often beyond the scope of traditional knowledge to deal with new challenges. So it's extremely important to have experts and managed service providers in many areas, but especially in the security. If we come back to Signal 4, you said speed of response is essential in your security business, and speed of remediation, obviously, as well. Is there any specific advice that you would give companies in your business, in particular in the area of Signal 4 and this whole alerting and response segment?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the advice that I would give is part of your onboarding process to any security platform or SIEM or managed detection and response service like ours is to work with them so that they, especially internal IT, so we know what are critical alerts, what's coming through, which could be potentially noise. In Sentinel, we have what are called analytics rules. So there are many that are out the box. There are a lot that we custom create. And so when we're creating these, they need to be personalized to the organization to ensure that we're capturing the kind of things that we need to be concerned about in the right areas and on the right highly valued assets. So to do that, that's an evolution as well. So that process needs to be over time reviewed until we're getting the best signals possible. Therefore, as I'm sure as part of your organization or part of your product, its value is to reduce alert fatigue. We don't want to be fatigued by a ton of alerts which are too noisy. And I think that's what my advice would be, is to just not settle with what's out of the box, but to take some time to adapt your analytics and your signals until you get it just right.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Thank you for that. I think it will definitely be embraced by the audience, because false alerts, especially at night, is the kind of worst experience that you can have. And we know that by heart, that we definitely know that the acceptance of a solution in general, with Signal 4 being the front end, definitely relies on a very fine and granular selection of relevant alerts, right? So, because being woken up in the middle of the night because of some irrelevant information or duplicates, yeah, et cetera, is the worst you can get on-call person.
Yep. Which is good about Signal 4, obviously. We can decide on which alerts are coming into the system and which are the ones that's setting off the kind of nuclear invasion into your into your mind, which is actually... And on that, I have a funny story about your ringtone, actually. I was at my son's birthday party in March. I had my music playing on a loudspeaker, and it was his first birthday. All family were there, and... we got a signal that came through, and that set off. It paused the music that was playing, and off went the Signal 4 alarm. And everyone stopped in their tracks, looked absolutely terrified. And I had to kind of pause. So I just left it for a good 5 or so seconds while I was laughing internally before I said, "Sorry, that's me." But yeah, these things happen.
this alarm sound is one of the pre-shipped selection. That one's really terrifying. I definitely confirm that. So you should be very careful with it.
Yeah, it gets your attention, grabs your attention, and that's what we're after, right?
That's true. That's right. So, Callum, yeah, thank you very much for being able to be part of our podcast here today. It has been my utmost pleasure. Thanks for the extremely interesting insights into your business. And all the best for a phenomenal growth of CSP.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I look forward to a long-lasting relationship with Signal4 and Durdak, and it was great to be here.
Me too. Have a nice evening. Thanks again, and speak soon.
Thanks, Matt. Chat soon. Cheers.
That was Mathis and Callum talking about Signal4 and cybersecurity operations at CSP Lighthouse. More about Durdak and Signal4 can be found in the show notes or on signal4.com. Until next time, stay alerted.